finish up on Tuesday, the Chanina and
the other stuff, and then on Thursday we can begin at hopefully at Echanam Bisurim. Today, at least, let's finish up the discussion about what do you do with, the Gemara on Bavli Beis, according to the Rambam and Rav Avigdor and et cetera. And let's begin starting to discuss some of the Gemaras in Ksuvos and Baal Basra regarding Umdina and Eidus, et cetera, just to put them in a little bit of context. If we don't finish, we'll finish Yitz Hashem on Tuesday. Also with Taninan, and so Thursday we'll try to target to begin at Echad Nem on the Bisurim. And we'll try to do that, that should actually overlap a lot of things we've been doing. So we've been discussing the Gemara on Bavli Beis. that Gemara does seem to imply very strongly that b'panai nechtam, even though the case is a case where it's unnecessary, the case of Eretz Yisrael, it's very difficult to argue in a in an effective way or in a compelling way, although for sure people have made the suggestion, or the suggestion by nature should be thrown out there, like, is it a coincidence that the Gemara that is most explicit, that b'fanei nechtam will neutralize an actual Iror Habal, right? Is it a coincidence that that's a case where b'fanei nechtam was unnecessary? Okay, so normally I think the perspective on that, in other words, just to make it clear, and that of course would provide succor that would, with a C, double C, that would require, that would that would supply kind of a solution or an explanation to what seems to be the thorniest difficulty for the group of Rishonim that think that there is ever a Kiyum Daraisa in a case of Mezuya. So by saying, in other words, that that case is different, that's a case where it's not the typical case, it's the unusual case, it's the anomaly where b'fanei nechtam is, is not required. So I think that that's something to look at. I think most people would say, either that it's a neutral factor. You don't need to say b'fanei nechtam. You chose to say b'fanei nechtam. So, that is, it doesn't make a difference in terms of the quality of the claim. Moreover, you could certainly make the point that if anything, the takana was made, to say b'fanei nechtam and to treat it, kibetrei in cases where it's necessary, because in part this is a response, like on a practical level, in terms of the legal history, of this institution. So we understand that it was, it has a background. Part of the background is, the concern for, kiyum, when you're talking about maybe getting Medina Sayyam. And the Chachamim made this takana under these circumstances. And, since they are, a Darbana level, a Daraisa level, maybe mostly on a Drabana level, they are elevating b'fanei nechtam, to a status beyond, its otherwise should have been more limited, like an Echad status. So even though again that's within the Drabanan tension of standards versus aguna, that nonetheless that is still an elevation. And maybe that elevation, could have, you would have thought. That's why we point out always, that it's not so obvious, but it flows from this Gemara. We've even raised the question, will it apply in all cases? There can be more than one reason why you don't need b'fanei nechtam, right? The Gemara's case is Eretz Yisrael, but what about a case of, Isha, right? When she's actually, mekabeles, Gita, directly, or what about a shliach le Kabbalah, according to those who think that the shliach lekabbalah, for the shliach lekabbalah, you know, it would be unnecessary. Would you still say that there's a chalos b'fanenechtam, even though there's no, you know, obligation of b'fanenechtam, or would you be mechalik, you know, between the geographic question and the, you know, and the question of who or any other conditions, you know, that made this, you know, unnecessary. So to make the argument that, like, the takana, you know, is something that expands and therefore could have been, you know, only applicable to when you have the takana, you know, and not beyond, you know, that seems like, you know, also a reasonable argument. So you would say either, you know, you see from the Gemara that that isn't the case. Or, you know, you see from the Gemara that it isn't the case there, but maybe it's the case elsewhere. But, you know, the idea that the opposite is true is certainly not obvious at all. But, of course, one could argue that, especially on a, like, a Medak Dayak perspective, that maybe it really does go the other way. I mean, that somebody who, you know, chooses to, you know, to offer b'fanai nechtam, even if he's not, you know, obligated to do so, you know, that somehow that makes, you know, the stature of that statement greater, in which case, you know, it wouldn't be neutral or worse, then it could really solve, you know, the problem. So that's something to think about. But let's say it's, you know, it's a little complicated. Either way, we have other answers for this question, some for the Rambam, some for Rabbi Avigdor, as we've discussed. We don't need to repeat them. And I think we were in the middle of discussing the Pnei Yeshua. So I want to talk about the three suggestions that the Pnei Yeshua makes. Then I want to speak about the Nodeh B'Yehuda for a minute. So the first suggestion, or maybe we'll speak about the Nodeh B'Yehuda in between, as we've discussed, is that, you know, kind of he picks up on the idea of the Lecha Mishnah, which is that, you know, Medek Dayek is the, you know, factor, you know, that overrides, you know, the original Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara and of Gimel Amnal. That once the Gemara introduces Medek Dayek, even though, as a Pnei Yeshua, even though, as, sorry, the Lecha Mishnah points out, it's really, you know, introduced within the Drabanan tension and that dialectic, that nonetheless, you know, that factor remains, and maybe it can be even a Doraisa factor, you know, as well. So again, there is Chiddush in this, and that, again, the Lecha Mishnah certainly rejects it. The truth is that if you look at the Pnei Yeshua, ooh, I don't have my phone. Okay. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua on Tess Omer Aleph, oh, we have some Pnei Yeshuas here? Oh, great. Thank you. Which one do you have? The Kudras Achron? And the Gimel? Do you have also the... if you look at the one on Tess Omer Aleph, well, thank you. But thank you. Yeah, we'll use them all. if you look at the one on Tess Omer Aleph, in the end he says that it's Bedochak. Yeah. What? Yeah. So, or you guys could find it for me. I'll have you read it. In the end, he says it's Bedochak, and he, you know, he tries to go back on it, right? Anybody have that? You have that, you know? Looks like you might have it. Yeah. So even though he says it pretty forcefully on Bava Medeis, right? He, you know, he tries to backtrack a little bit later on. Because I think the point is, there's a Lecha Mishnah factor, and there's also... Just this is a bit of a, and this I'm going to want to get to the Nodeh B'Yehuda for a second. It's a bit of like a, you know, a, like, you know, it's a little bit too much of an unknown. Like, you know, what is the threshold that makes something, I mentioned the other day. We know what an Eid Echad is. We know what Shnayim Eidim are. You know, in some respects is, you know, something we're going to revise a little bit. You know, we know about the koach of a chazaka, the koach of a robe, the different types of chazakas, the different kinds, you know, of robes. But this kind of fluidity, like, you know, like extraneous, you know, proofs, you know, that, you know, are stronger or weaker, like, you know, when do they pass, you know, the actual threshold, you know, Well, truth is, a lot of our understanding of the koach of migu and chazaka and pesha asar and rove and different types of roves and chazakas also are based on reconstruction. In other words, we're immersed in the system and we're trying to figure out based on, you know, what works and what doesn't work. You know, sometimes we're inductively trying to, you know, define, you know, what the nature and sometimes what the character of a certain force, you know, of birur or hachra, you know, really is. But this is like a little bit about that, because again, meidak dayik is, you know, very much like an open question. You know, at what point, as I say, it doesn't have an objective, criteria. It's not like we know that people, when they know stakes are greater and people are scrutinizing them, certainly they're going to be, you know, acting with greater, you know, responsibility. You know, and the reputations are at stake, or just the encouragement itself of greater, you know, it's like, it's the urgency of what's going on, and also the personal embarrassment, or, you know, of failure, you know, as well as the sense of responsibility is going to be greater. So the idea that the Lecha Mishnah proposes and the Pnei Yeshua initially embraces, you know, is very reasonable. And it's also just a great example where Edin Derabanan, you know, or the requirement of saying Bifanei Nechtam, Bifanei Nechtam, Bifnei Shnayim, you know, can create a Doraisa reality. That belongs, you know, in Yitzi's, tool bag or whatever they call it. You know, part of the you know, massive thing that he's structuring. You know, this interface of Derabanans and Doraisas in general is like a fascinating question. So again, this is a principle worthwhile, you know, in investigating. But at the same time, it's so precarious. It's like so hard to know all of that. You know, it's not the principle that a Drabanan requirement can then engender like a Doraisa, you know, change in reality, you know, and put it over the top, I think is very, you know, reasonable. But when that actually happens, you know, and at what point, you know, that's what makes it tricky. So you have like a similar discussion in the Nota Bihuda. And again, we made reference to it the other day, but I just want to speak a little bit more about that. So kind of the Nota Bihuda initially, again, the Pnei Yeshua himself makes reference to the parallel sugya, because it's a natural, both the language, you know, and the phenomenon in, Edus, you know, Misa Sabal. In both cases, you're talking about neutralizing the problem, you know, of Heter Isha Lashuk, you know, Dabar Shabbat Erba, right? It's a natural. And in both cases, you have the language of, you know, of Diuk, right? Isha Daika Uminsava Mitoch, you know, Chomer Shech Marta Leha Besofa, right? You know, she's, you know, Daika Uminsava, you know, to make sure. She knows what's at stake. She knows her life could be, you know, blown, you know, to smithereens if she, you know, is precipitous and careless, you know, and therefore there's a certain investment. Now again, so some Rishonim say, yeah, and that's all, you know, kind of an afkinu rabbanu l'kiddush shemineh, or it's, you know, connected, you know, to milsa d'avida l'gluyeh, you know, or things of that sort. And then you have some, you know, Rishonim already, Balitosis even in the Isha Rabbah, that have kind of these very, you know, kind of subtle, very difficult to pin your hands. Like, you know, it's you know, Dover Hadomeh, they call it sometimes. Like, it's on the precipice, it's on the edge, on the line, it's in the ambiguous, you know, gray area, you know, between, you know, not qualifying and, you know, and qualifying for Doraisa. Even in the Pnei Yeshua, I think I was mentioning the other day, like, you know, how much is it the Kabbalah of the Rabbanan, of this Svara, you know, that is part of it? Because there's also a decision here. But obviously, the Chachamim can't decide to apply something to a Daraisa, you know, if it doesn't have the wherewithal to work on a Daraisa level. The Chachamim can't, aside from things like Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh, which have their own, you know, difficulties, and very, very good reasons, you know, for reticence, You know, you just can't change Daraisa definitions. So when we hear, oh, the Chachamim were Mekabel the Svara, it's more like the Chachamim have evaluated, you know, that this does pass the threshold. You know, that's kind of their call. Just like, I think I gave the example the other day, you know, for the Ramban, like the Mitzaseh of Shabbos. So there could have been things that, even if the Chachamim never called them Shusim, would still be a violation of the Mitzaseh of Shabbos, just because objectively, you know, they're like Ubda the call, and, you know, if you were to do them, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. And, you know, then there are things probably that, you know, the Chachamim consider to be Shvusim, and they're not a violation. They don't have to be a violation of the Mitzvah. I'm talking about objectively. I'm not talking about the Ramban at the moment. Like, there are certain things Chachamim said you shouldn't do on Shabbos, and, you know, even if they call them, you know, Shvusim, like the Rambam says, there are different types of Shvusim. Some Shvusim are, oh, this is comparable, it's similar, you know, to other below. You do this, you're going to end up doing that. And then there are, you know, probably a type of Shvusim that are, you know, that they cross the threshold, you know, of being, you know, Uvda Dechol. Like, it's not, you know, you're not being the kind of Mitzvah of Shabbos if this is what you're doing on Shabbos. And then the point is that the Chachamim, in some cases, you know, are, you know, the fact, you know, there are things that they say that are even without a Shavuos, are that, and there are things that even with a Shavuos are just a Shavuos, probably, at least that makes sense. And then there's, you know, the Chachamim, there's like two other areas, like, that's trying to be complicated, but I think there are. One is, the Chachamim, you know, pronounce this, you know, a Shavuos, you know, and therefore, you know, since they have authority in this system, like, to ignore that, you know, is kind of to be thumbing, you know, your, you know, in the eye of the spirit, you know, of Shabbos, meaning what they do ends up causing, having a causal effect. Or the Chachamim, you know, by virtue of the fact that they, you know, have formulated this Shavuos, you know, Durabanan, you know, in this case, that, you know, that's their way of saying, you know, it qualifies for the gray area, you know, and it's above the threshold, you know, of Uvda Dechol. So this is kind of something like that, where, you know, you could have said, again, even if this Medik Dayak idea, you know, crosses the threshold, just crosses the threshold. But sometimes you need the Chachamim to kind of acknowledge it, you know, and to, you know, the recognition itself, you know, of that, you know, gives it added stature, or at least objectifies it, you know, as something that is over the threshold. So I think these are very, very fascinating questions. And with Rabbi Yehuda, as I think I mentioned, so Yeshua also makes the comparison to Isha Daiko Mitzvah, but there we do have a tremendous range, whether that's Daraisa, whether it's Afkinu, whether it's that gray area in between. But then the Rabbi Yehuda, if somebody has a language, you know, it looks like you have the language in front of you. If you do, that's the one in Simon Pehe. So he's coming to it from the opposite perspective. You have it?
No,
it's okay. I'll be happy to. But thank you. We have you have the Norbihuda, the old one?
I don't know how old it is.
Yeah, it's the old one. Yeah. That's the one I have too. Yeah. Okay, good. The one without notes. And,
yeah.
You know, that looks a little, yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. So if you have, he's coming to it from a, you know, to explain the Baalei Tosis and other Rishonim, you know, in Misa Sabal. And so initially he has this formulation. Go ahead. But again, what he's rejecting is this Medak Daika idea, correct? Go ahead. Right, so I've already made this comment, but I just, you know, I'll repeat it just for a second, and that is, I think that is the, you know, that, because that is really, I think, the vulnerability. I totally understand what the Nordabita's argument is. He's basically saying, you know, this is apples and oranges, right? Meaning, you know, either Medak Dayak, like, you know, she, we trust that she, you know, is going to leave no stone unturned, and then, you know, why should she have to even hear, you know, about Misa Sabal, right? It's it should be sufficient that she, you know, to hire the best investigators. You know, she left or made sure they left no stone, you know, unturned. And, you know, they, having done that thorough job, he's not going to show up. Meaning he, it's clear, the umdana is that he, that he's amazed. But what, you know, to be, and, as opposed to Ein Echad, which is, you know, a known, objective, measurable, you know, method of Birur. But how do you get that? But it's not enough for, you know, for Dabar Shebe'er, but it's not enough for Misa Sabal. So, like, what that's apples and oranges. Like, how do you combine those two things? But of course, the answer may very well be, you know, and that would be interesting too. For sure, that makes sense as a perspective. And we understand the Nordabita's argument, but the answer is that, you know, in the end of the day, either the Medak Dayak is a way of upgrading, you know, the nemanus of an Ein Echad. And that could be in two ways, you know. Again, the Nordic Buddha obviously doesn't want to hear this, which is important also. Like for the Nordic Buddha, an Ein Echad's an Ein Echad, you know. And, you know, just like Shnayim Edim, you can't add to it. You can't add to an Ein Echad as an Ein Echad, he'll tell you, because, you know, beyond that, it's apples and oranges. Right. But on the other hand, if you were to take the position, let's say, that generally speaking, like, you know, it's a chiddush that you need Shnayim Edim, and Ein Echad really, you know, mostly, you know, is qualified. Like we've discussed a number of times, some Rishonim think it's a Tzitzkezeres HaKasuv, you know, the Nesivos has this idea about, you know, delusion, you know, you believe the Ein Echad completely, you know, but, you know, sometimes people, you know, live in their fantasy world, so, you know, and even if you know him to be a very sober person, that's already the loplok. So, you know, having two people, having a little bit more of a critical, you know, mass, you know, kind of negates that. But per se, like, if we didn't have those problems, then, you know, either the chashash sheker part or the, we would believe, there would be enough credibility in an Ein Echad. So then, you know, if it's supported by some other things, a sniff, you know, then, you know, it isn't apples and oranges. It's, you know, it's apples and apples plus, you know. Right? Yeah. Or the other perspective is it's not apples and oranges, but the focus is on the Medak Dayak. Oh, before I get to that, another way to say it would be, and this is a really interesting question that we have to get to in Ein Echad and Bisur, which is why I'm spending a little bit of time on it now also. And that is that, you know, there are certain, like, eduyos, or certain issues in the world that can be looked at in more than one way, or from more than one, you know, perspective. And, you know, sometimes questions of, this is a crucial, crucial question in Echadim Bitsurim, which I want to start discussing Thursday, that is sometimes, like, there are certain issues that you can, you know, discuss in terms of, you know, focusing on an action that took place, a change that took place, a change in status that took place, etc. You know, and sometimes, like, the very same issue can be confronted, you know, from a different point of view, you know, from trying to, like, focus, you know, on identity. I've said this many times in many different contexts. I think it's really, really true. In the world of, you know, Chazaka and Roves, like, sometimes you have the question, like, you have more than one, just to give an example, like, you have more than one factor at play. And if you were to apply, you know, like, this factor, you know, Tartal Reyusa cases, you know, you have, you know, a change, and then you have a status question. Somebody's, you know, either Tahor or Tameh, and, you know, but also, you know, something happened, something changed, and you want to know when it changed. Mm. When do you ask the when question? When do you ask, you know, the what question? Like, you know, what is this person's status? Or when did his status change? Depending on what question you ask, you're employing, you know, different types of chazakos, and that in halacha can matter, you know, a lot. So similarly, sometimes, you know, you're like, you can ask the question, what happened to her husband? You know, is there edus on Maisa Misa? Or what is the, what is the status of her marriage? But sometimes you could say, is her husband alive or is he not alive? Meaning, you're just trying to identify to be makir. So sometimes, whether or not you can employ, we'll see this in a second, the Kanei Shira also, whether you can employ, you know, an Eidecha Neman B'Yisurim, you know, because mostly you're dealing with identification or Milsud Abidi Ligluye, or you're trying to really attest to a change, you know, a change in status due to an action, a Maisa Kiddushin, a Maisa Geirushin, Maisa Misa, you know, Haisha, you know, Niknes Begibel Drachim, the Kones Atzma Bishne Drachim, talked about this earlier in the year, you know, the get to the Misa Sabal. So, you know, how different is the get from, you know, from the Misa Sabal? You know, aside from the, you know, Eliyahu, you know, question of the Trumas Hadeshen, but, you know, in general, like you need a Maisa Misa to be matir her, or there's no husband, there's no marriage, you know. Things of that sort. So whether or not, you know, Eidus on Misa Sabal is a kind of, or can be turned into a question of Hakara, because remember, it also affects other issues, like a person's status and whether he's alive or not alive, you know, isn't only relevant, let's say he's married, so it's relevant, you know, maybe most important thing is it's relevant, you know, to the status of his maybe, you know, ex-wife, but it's also relevant to Dine Yerusha, you know, and, you know, to a host of other, you know, issues. So, like, how do you determine, like, you know, how you're going to look at this particular case? So sometimes, you know, other factors, instead of looking at it saying, well, you have an Eidechot, that gets you so far, that works in Isurim, you know, you have this Medek Dayek, you know, and, you know, either that's such a Nari Behuda saying, you say, you know, either it works on its own, either the Eidechot works on its own or it doesn't, either Medek Dayek works on its own or it doesn't. What I'm suggesting is three different things. One is, number one, if the problem of Eidechad isn't like an inherent problem, you know, it's more incidental problem, then maybe sometimes, you know, the Apple Plus, you know, is good enough. That's really what I'm saying. Number two I'm saying is Eidechad works for what it works. The question is sometimes to shift, like, you know, the primary Kabbalah Seidus or the way that you look at the problem, like, what do you need here? Do you need an Eidus on his Misa? An Eidus on the, you know, Heter Isha Labala? Or are an Eidus on the fact that he's no longer living, you know, and that, you know, is more like in the Avida Ligluye or the Hakara perspective, and maybe the Medek Dayek can be a factor, you know, in you know, that focal point. You know, you're going to get evidence at some point, so it's just like Avida Ligluye, you know, etc., something like that. Or the third point goes to the assumption of the Nora Behuda, which I think is exactly what the Pnei Yoshua, you know, is kind of dealing with, and that is Medek Dayek, you know, is a threshold, you know, question. And again, it's amorphous, you know, meaning it's not completely defined, and that's what makes it tricky, no question about it. And that you can totally understand. I'm trying to work a little bit hard, you know, to explain how this might end up being, you know, a Doraisa, you know, factor. But let me make it perfectly clear. Those who deny it, I totally understand their shita from so many points of view. But the point is, if you can push it over the threshold, so is it absurd to say, you know, that it's not apples and oranges from the Medek Dayek point of view, meaning it's not the Eid Echad, you know, in as a standalone, or Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, but surely the testimony, you know, the statement of the Eid Echad is something that, you know, maybe creates a possibility for the Medek Dayek, you know, to work on a Birur level. And certainly it's true on a practical level that once you hear, this is the point I made the other day, the other two I'm making now, and that is that once you once an Eid Echad comes and tells you, and again, he might not be enough, but on in certain areas of halakha, we would for sure accept his view that, you know, the husband status, you know, in his, what is it, Facebook? Yeah. His Facebook status has changed, you know. So, you know, we would believe him about that, right? I guess. So you know, so does that figure into, you know, okay, so, you know, that makes likely the next question, and that is like, you know, is there, you know, a way, you know, to also clarify this? But you're already starting off, you know, at a certain point, and that's a reinforcement to the Maidag diet. In a Doma, if somebody says, I actually saw him, you know, terribly, again, we don't know him, so we don't have to be so sad. He's some abstract guy right now, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, shed tears for him. There are plenty of real people to share tears for. But so Nebuch, the guy, you know, met his fate, you know, and, you know, maybe he lived a good and happy life, hopefully. And, you know, he was 99 years old or 119 or whatever it was. And, you know, his, you know, younger wife was only 117. And it's a trad, you know, Einisha Mesa Labala and Bala Mesa Leisha. I mean, I'm not making light of it, of this abstract, you know, person. But at the end of the day, you know, that's the person, you know, that's their status. And the Medag Dayak, you know, for sure, knowing this, you know, makes it so much more likely, you know, that the investigation as a reinforcement, you know, is enough of a bureau. Okay. So that I think is the issue. Those are the three, you know, responses to the Noid Bel. Yorub Yehuda himself, right, has his own suggestion, which is also quite fascinating, which is basically what?
Once you say that reflection, it happens in Nemon and Dabi Rabba, it's not as Kazakh.
If it's what?
Not as Kazakh.
Correct. And what's really going on here then is what? Yeah. So in a way, it's like a different, you know, combination, right? You know, he doesn't want to do apples and oranges, but, you know, a little bit, you know, like the second suggestion that I was making, which is that the Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin can work if the Medak Dayak, you know, deliver. So I was explaining that the Medak Dayak might be a reason, you know, to consider, you know, let's say processing, you know, and you know, being makabaledus in a different way. And the Noda Behuda is saying something, you know, quite amazing, you know, which you could either argue on more or accept more, and that is that the Medak Dayak neutralizes or weakens Cheskas Eish Hasish. And once that's the case, and that again is connected to our next topic, including the Girsa and the Gemara, you know, is Dover Shebe'erva Hainu Hach, you know, with Cheskas Eish Hasish. Right? But what he's saying is that Cheskas Eish Hasish is vulnerable to something like Medak Dayak. It's a more, not so clear, because if you look at Cheskas Eish Hasish, you know, more as like, you know, like a motzi mechaber olav araya kind of a thing. You know, it's a status quo, not so much like a biur, you know, but a status quo question, you know, then it isn't necessarily true. Again, in order to change that or to neutralize it, you may need something more substantial. But this is his argument. He's saying, Cheskas Eish Hasish, you know, assuming it plays a big role in standards, and it's what, you know, eliminates the effectiveness of Eid Echad, you know, so that's what Medag Dayak, you know, can attack. Now, can you say something similar, you know, to explain this problem? So that's what he goes on to say. Go ahead. Again, the Abba, the issue is like, you know, speaking about this and then applying it there. He's speaking about that and applying it here. Yeah, go ahead.
So
Oh, that's a big cheresh. Cheskas eishes ish is more vulnerable, according to the Nora Behuda, according to this view, than you might have thought. Yeah, go ahead. Right, if it's a cheskas eishes ish, so why is it a suffek that's subject only to Asham Talui? Why isn't it a chatas? Because the mukzaku is sedeshes ish, is a vadai. Yeah, go ahead. That's the pshat. And once that's true, then the Eidechot can kick in. Correct? So that fluidity, again, it's so interesting that the Nora Behuda doesn't consider fluidity when it comes to, you know, like Medak Dayak is a factor in its own right. But I totally understand it, because it's not objective. It's not like Eidus, you know, so it's always going to be short. But as something that can turn the treatment of Cheskas Eishes Ish or a Mukzakus from a Vadai into a Safek, right, which then in turn has its own effect on the threshold requirements of Eidus, you know, that will work. Go ahead. Yeah. So that's an interesting question in general. Whenever cheskas, you know, kodem, you know, is kovea abadai, you know, what can weaken that? Okay. Then he has the application to here. Go ahead. Which is why the Piskei Tshuva was quoting it. Yeah? No?
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So this is his answer to the question, correct? Okay, so you have the Pirshu, you have the Nora Behuda, in addition to the other things we discussed, the Magid Mishnah, the Nesibos, the, you know, the distinction between, you know, Edom and Bailim, all the other distinctions that we made. Good. So now I want to go back for a second to the Pnei Yoshua, because he has two other suggestions that are interesting. Yeah.
Is there any chronological question in the Mishnah? Like, in case the Isha Daikom Mitzvah, some of the Adachim comes in and say it, because of
that
Isha, before she gets remarried, is Daikom Mitzvah.
Right.
So, you're saying that afterwards?
Well, I don't know if that's only, I mean, because the Adachim comes, she's Daikom Mitzvah? I'm not sure if that's, I mean, I think you could say that, but I don't think that.
Is coming well before she gets married, and the assumption is before she gets married,
right, but not necessarily. I mean, we don't know when her, you know, when she hired the detective, right?
Right. So
you know, she might have tried to hire the detective, you know, when her 119-year-old husband, you know, when he went to his yearly safari in Africa and he didn't come back, you know.
So
she hired, you know, her, the night. And then, like, you know, maybe a month later, the Eidechot.
Is it totally on that? Would you have to, according to the Behuda,
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, you're asking, is there a chronology?
Does the Chazaka need to be lowered before the Eidus of the Eidechot, or if you have the Eidus of the Eidechot, and then the lowering of the Chazaka that allows the Eidus of the Eidechot?
I mean, does the order matter? You for sure need both. If you don't have both together, it's not going to help you. I mean, if you have Eidechot, you know, Bimis Sabal, and she, you know, didn't know anything about it, or you know, but I think the point is that once you know it, then she's not going to move forward until she neutralizes her cheskas eishes ish. So could you have made a distinction? Maybe. I don't think that there's any indication in the Nora Behuda that he necessarily does.
So when is it? I guess when is it Kabbalah's Eidus of the Eidechot?
Right. I mean, I don't think it has to be, you know, that when he, you know, like he goes to court, she doesn't know anything. You know, they could also hold it in a bay. Oh, this is an Eidechot Nem and Bisurim. We're only going to use this, you know, if this woman's katskasei shasish, you know, is brought down to suffering. I mean, in other words, I think it's a great point. Would I be shocked if somebody, or if you, you know, to make the suggestion? No, but you know, I wouldn't assume that there has to be a difference in order. Yeah.
Just on that point, he says explicitly here that he doesn't agree with the Beis Shmuel, who says you need it in a specific order. Just at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Says,
go ahead. What does he say? Oh no, yeah, but that might be a different point. Right. I mean, he's the Beis Shmuel, you know, which as we pointed out, is kind of parallel to, but a little bit different in application to the Or Zarua itself, is saying, you know, that it's a din in the Kabbalah's, you know, Eidos of Bezin, but it's the Medek. There's no Medek Dayak, you know, factor really on a Daraisa level at all for the Beis Shmuel, right? It's just that.
Right, I'm just saying he says Nachamina between his opinion and the Beis Shmuel, it could be the.
Oh, I see. Yeah, he does say. So I thought I read it more like, since I'm giving an explanation, you know, that adds a factor. Namely, the Medek Dayak, but in a, you know, in a way of neutralizing Eishas Ish, you know. So you're right. I mean, he does say Agav. He says that. So for me, I don't really care when the Baal is Ma'arer.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it more. I mean, I didn't pick up on it so much. I wasn't thinking in terms of Akiva's question, but I was thinking of it more, which I think is true. Like he's saying, oh, you know, I'm giving an answer based on Medek Dayak. I don't need this other Chiddush. You know, which makes everything depend on the order. And you're saying that once he says that, you know, maybe he would have added that maybe the order of Medek Dayak and Eid Echad, you know, would be a factor if he meant it, because he's really saying, I don't care about any order.
Yeah.
Right. As I'm saying, I don't think it's his target, you know, which makes it less of a whatever, but I think it's a great, it's a good point. Like, you know, he basically says, I don't care about the order. Yeah. Okay. So there's another answer in the Pnei Yoshua. You know, which basically assumes that anybody see that? There are two other answers in the Pnei Yeshua. One is that, you know, when it comes to Mizuyah, you know, he's basically assuming, you know, that Kiyum Shtaros is always Drabana. Right? But what he's suggesting is that, you know, Iror Habal, is that right? Am I saying it right? Yeah. Anybody have the language?
Yeah.
He's being mechalik between Amana and Psuli Eidos, correct? You have it there, Akiva? Yeah. And this is the one that he seems to like in both places, even on Tess of an Aleph, but, you know, the other one in the Bavim base. Where is it? Where do we have it here?
Is it
Yeah. What does he say there?
I'm not sure.
He says, like, no, the time of Mizuyah is very lo shchiach. Yeah, go ahead. So what's he saying? Really, the Gemara isn't talking about the time of Mizuyah. They only mean the time of Mizuyah as a kind of migu. Like Migu di Boy Amar Mizuyev, you should be Neman to say all the other Tainas.
Right.
But with, so, but go ahead.
What's that? Ella, the Lumahai Taima, Ain Makum Larai's Maarek, the low, or Zura.
Yeah, so what's he saying in the end? Is let's say there was an Ir Rabah, would it work against Mizuya?
Yeah, eventually he says that that he claims that Amiga won't work as Makum Adam eventually against Mizuya. Meaning the Shtar protects against Ziyuf, but or it doesn't protect against Ziyuf, but it does protect against the other claims. Shtar's
right. So in the end of the day, what he's suggesting, again, you know, whether you buy it or not is different. The Migu doesn't help you.
Right, because on Shtar Tainos, because it's Makum Adam, basically. The Shtar does protect against the other Tainos.
But not against Mizuya. So this is a great example of, you know, one of the issues that we've been discussing. So how would you explain it? And with this, he's trying to explain, you know, that, you know, the Gemara on Gimel Med Aleph is right, and Kiyum Shtaros is always against Mizuyef is only Drabanan, right? As far as why is it that Bafanenachtam, will work? I mean, Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan, but what's Doraisa is going to be Shar Tainos, you know. So what's the upshot?
He explains the Gemara in the Mabez.
Right, I'm saying, so how do you explain the difference between Tainos Mizuya, let's say, and the other Tainos?
Sounds like,
why does one get a response of Kiyum Doraisa and the other not?
What's like the core of the Shtar?
Yeah, so again, it's this tension, this is what's important about it, between, as I say, Mizuyef is either the best or the worst. And that's what emerges from this discussion, too. On the one hand, it's the most circular. And on the other hand, it's the most core. You know, whereas even the other tainus that don't allow the shtar to get, to be effective ever, as opposed to, like, you know, the shtar chabiyoti my boy, right? In the end of the day, they're, you know, on the one hand, the defense mechanism of the shtar more reasonable because everybody agrees that, you know, it's somewhat of a shtar. At least it's not Mizuya. It's not a forged piece of paper, right? On the other hand, for that very reason, it's not as core a defense mechanism. So that I think that distinction is something that Yeshua offers. And then there's a third point that he suggests in the Kunchus, Achron, which I really wanted to get to. Yeah.
Isn't the Pnei Yeshua saying that Mizuya, he's trying to explain Rav Avichai, but he's saying Mizuya, if the Baal would say Mizuya, that would still require Kiyum Doraisa, just not claiming that because it's not Shchiyah. And that's so the whole Gemara when it talks about Lo Asi Baal Ma'arer.
If you would claim it would work, because
yeah,
it's
Doraisa, like Rav Avichai, he's saying.
Right, but the other ones wouldn't work. Because they'd be against the... Isn't that what he's saying?
Right, yeah.
But yeah. I'm just pointing out that it goes in both directions, that's all.
I think Rebbe was saying that if you claim the Zuya, that would still only be the Rabban. Sounds like he thinks
it was... No, I'm saying, if you claim the Zuya, we're not worried about the Kashash Mizuya. I thought he's saying, you're not Choshesh for Mizuya because it's Lo Shchicha. If you were to claim Mizuya, then that would require Kiyum Doraisa, which is what Rav Avigdor and what the Rambam in Gerushin are saying, right? But other claims, even other claims, that's what we're saying, other claims that also go to the core effectiveness of the shtar, but, you know, are based on, at least they're being, you know, not ziyuf, those are always kiyum drabanan. I was just pointing out that you also could have argued the opposite for the same reason. Yeah. Eitan, your question? Or
yeah,
was
it? There you think family workers of Migu that it comes at Zuya.
What?
You said there that they would only work as a Migu that you could have said Zuya.
Correct.
That would be an aspect of the game.
I think so. And that's like Migu Bamakom. I thought that's the point. It's like Migu B'makom Eidim. Or Migu B'makom Eidus. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Let's see. One second. Which one is it?
That's a different one than the one.
O.J. Schmalman.
O.J. Schmalman.
Yeah.
It's right there.
That's a different one. That's not
the
one.
That is the one that matters.
That is the second one.
It's not a few pockets. Where is it? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right there. The Havelay, Kimigo, Bemakum, A, the Ahad, in the middle.
Right. One second. Odish Shobin, the two Basha Kasavel, Asa Shapir, today. Not to come to Yasi Bala Ma'arer, Lo Iron Cloud in the Shiita Mizuya. If he were to be toying Mizuya, that would work, right? The Milsidalo, but we're not talking about that. The Milsidalo Shihari. Ella Shiiton, Shanosno, Liado Altnai, Belonis Kayim. One second. Oshalogi, Liado Bittorah Shlichos. I mean, some other time, yeah. That's the claim. Afogav, and therefore that is that's what's Kim Shtaros Rabbanu. No, Afogav de Bekai Gavnan de Mikuyam Lo Mehaven. Kamosha Kasafnu El. Mikamokom Yehin Neman. If it's not Mikuyam. So since you need kiyum drabanan, yehi ne'aman b'migu de mezuya.
No,
I think even if it's the arise. One second. Avokivin sh'amar shliach b'fanay nechtam su'lo mehenem b'shum inyan d'havalei k'mo migu b'mokom eid echa d'lo amriman. So therefore we don't believe him. So how's that a yishuv of Rabba Bigdar? I thought that's the point. No?
Sounds like he thinks that Yerakinami Panai would be, meaning sorry, Ir Habal would be the
Panai. Ir Habal would work even in the other cases?
Mizuya.
No, I thought the only way that Ir Habal would work is because of Migudi by Amar Mizuya. Why wouldn't, if the Baal was Ma'arer and said Amana, or he wasn't a Shliach, and it was Nafal Mimeni, why do you need Migudi Boyomar Mizuyaf, which is then neutralized by Migov Mokom Edechad? Because why don't you just say that the Ir Habal creates a need for Kiyum Shtaros in its own right? In the same way that if you actually would be towing Mizuyaf, you'd have to be Mikayim Midaraisa. Right? The answer is, implicitly, what he's saying is, right? That's exactly what he's saying. What he's saying is, if the Baal is Ma'arer Mizuyaf, then that requires Kiyum Daraisa, because that goes to, you know, he's basically saying it's a piece of paper. There's nothing, to defend, because, you know, the catch 22 part is just too powerful. But, you know, why not say, you know, at least Migo will help you. So that's a way to upgrade, even though fundamentally the error wouldn't work. It'll work maybe together with a Migo. We'll get to that in a second in terms of the Gemaras and Ksubis. Right? But in the end of the day, that's not going to work because that's disrupted, you know, by the Eid Echad. So then you're back to, you know, the fundamental question: a Baal can be Ma'arer Bezuyaf, even though it's Loshkiach, so we're not worried about it. But if he's Ma'arer, you know, one of these other Tainas, you know, then even Rabba Bigdar, even the Rambam, will say that, that it's not a proper Ewer, that Reish Lakish kicks in. Yeah. Okay, good. But there's a third answer that he gives in there, which I think is really, especially in light of what we discussed with the Nebuchadnezzar, very interesting. And that is what? If anybody saw the third answer? In the Kuntres, oh, my Jesus, sheets. Yonatan was so kind to pass over to me. Wait, you have the Kuntres? Yeah, you do. Kuntres Acha. So he has a third answer. Yonatan, you saw it? What's the third answer? Very, kind of a bit of a sensational answer also. That what? That maybe,
idea of maybe you don't necessarily need to stress here, and he brings in the idea of
Inechonem Bisur. Yeah, the maybe Kim Staros, where's that line? Do we have it here? I guess you have a much, again, you know, that's like Shai and I have the same, you know, he's not here, but you know, we have the same library, you know. Or probably not, but at least the same note of Yehuda, you know. But this is not my Pnei Yoshua. Okay. You know. Because this is like, you know, an ancestor supposedly, so we have the old one that he wrote, you know. So like the Rimagash, same idea. So this, I just can't find anything.
Maybe it's
not
L.A. Eckhart Kavanah. Maybe it's not L.A. Eckhart Kavanah.
Yeah? Go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah, so what does he have? Go ahead.
L.A. Eckhart Kavanah is the right side of the star is Namilo Baitre. The in Kiyom Kubachat, Sagi. The Nahi, the Ada Aftu. That's basically that Kiyom Shar is really like with one end. The Nahi, the Ada Aftu, and Mamam Lakhbun.
So this is a great example of what we were talking about before, you know, and that is that, like, you know, when, like, what's the line, and this is, just remember all this, because we're going to do this, hopefully, on Thursday, or maybe Tuesday, if we get, you know, finish the other stuff faster, but not likely, I guess. But the, you know, this is the question. You can have things that are a gray area. You know, and the raya that he brings, you'll see in Ishtamodinu in Yavamos, is a great example. That's like where you get, I think that's part of the Marmukomos I gave you to look at in the Nechonam Misurim, right? Right? The Tosis Rid in Yavamos? What is it, Lamed Aleph on the base or something like that? Ishtamodinu? And Nechonam Misurim? For sure.
Yeah,
Lamed Tess on the base. Yeah. So go ahead. Well, I'm sorry, Akiva, keep reading. So what's he saying? That. Really, 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 again, you know, error, you know, might work, but the real issue is he shifts the whole conversation, basically, right? The real issue is, you know, whether or not, you know, you kiyum, you know, will work all your day eight echad, you know, or not. That's a dindra abana that you need, you know, shnai made him for a kiyum, and that's what we're kind of dropping, you know, mishum aguna. Go ahead, yeah, but just right, because he again with this, of course, the issue in Ksav Yad anyway, the Sugas and Ksubas, you know, and then they try to make, you know, all sorts of interesting chilukim, you know, are you being made on the Monosha Bishtar, are you being made on the Ksav Yad, you know, like, you know, it again, and that's why it gets tricky. I mentioned the other day the comparison, you know, to Hakasha and Hazama, right? The effect in some cases is the same. Like, is this star going to withstand the legal challenge and emerge as an effective vehicle? You know, yes or no. Like, you know, what else do we care about? But, you know, we care, you know, very acutely about that. We you know, what are you challenging and what are you substantiating? You know, is this about, you know, the goal? You know, it's not like a, you know, it's not a gossip, you know, chamber, like, you know, oh, yes, nice handwriting, yes, poor handwriting, you know, this is how he makes his C's or his E's, you know, who cares? But we care because just like in Hazama, we really care because of the Din Torah. But that doesn't mean that the focal point is the Din Torah or the Mammon. The focal point is the Hakara of the signatures. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that a little awkward?
No, so I guess Bifani Nechtam is just a way, a Dindurabanan way of, you know, of neutralizing, you know, because of Aguna, you know, the normal Durabanan requirement of Shnayim Eidim.
But it's not normal Kiyum, it's still maybe testing.
Right, no, right. I mean, because again, there is no, I think the point is that we don't find, you know, this kind of shortcut in other, you know, other Doraisa Durabanan, you know, situations in Kim Staros. There could be others, you know, so this is part of the takana b'fanenachtam that we're going to be mukmina na dorais. It's a very creative solution, right? So then it's really about the kiyum, you know, not so much about the iror. Yeah, go ahead. And again, the emphasis on gili milsa is exactly this point. It's edus about, you know, identifying, it's hakara not an edus on the Misa or an edus on the transaction. Go ahead. I don't keep interrupting you.
Abstract alone, Nikri, Dabash of Mamon, Ella Gilim also. We'll say, I got enough. Feel the Dabash of Erbash, got some that Sagi Basad, Kididivah, always. How can an Ashmir and Erl?
Actually, he's quoting the Gemara in Yavamos, Ashkenbo de Inu. In other words, what happens, you know, like you have a Yibum case, and, you know, but part of the story is to, like, identify, again, this is what we'll talk more in Eidech and Visor, but this is going to be the issues, to identify the, you know, the candidate. Is that Erva, or is that, you know, a car? Or the Ran, I think I gave it the Ran to look at in Kiddushin also, right? Right? Like a person's, you know, there's no question about a Kiddushin, but the question is who's the chassan or who's the kala, right? You sometimes go to a wedding, you know, it's hard to figure out, right? Did I give you that? The Ran and Kiddushin, third parak? 2 days of the Ran? If not, I'll give it to you. Okay. Anyways, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so these are some of the solutions. Each one, I'd say, opens up an interesting avenue, you know, some into like this broader questions of threshold and edus, etc., and some more specifically into okay, good. So okay, let's at least start the next point. Okay. So having established all of this, and especially, you know, the possibility of being mechalik between Mezuyef and other examples, so, you know, we should just be like aware that there are other sugyas, and that this question of, you know, whether Reish Lakish, the Edus Shabishtar, is, you know, protecting Betoras Edus or Betoras Umdana, that this is like a very vibrant, you know, very present kind of machlokas throughout these sugyas. And many of the sugyas are found in the second parak of Ksuvis, or, you know, in the latter half of, you know, Bava Basra, you know, in the Kuf Mems and the Kuf Ayins, a little bit in, you know, Bava Metzia, and particularly are connected to, you know, the issues of Moda Bishtar Shekosvu Tzarech L'Kayim. So, I mean, it starts with our sugya, you know, Reish Lakish, our Reish Lakish, the language certainly implies that we're dealing with a kind of edus issue, even though, again, the description, you know, is so shocking, you know, in terms of how, like, what does it mean? There's no, it's not for the bezin, it's not edus, I didn't see the maisa, but we're calling it edim machasum amalashtar nasa kamit shenechro edusim abezin. On the other hand, Rashi is telling us that, you know, the reason, you know, that Kim Shtar says Durabanan is because Lochatzif Inish. So if you just looked at the language of the Gemara, you get one impression. If you just looked at Rashi, you get the opposite impression. This is just about pure Umdana. So, again, you know, my solution to this, you know, predicament, which is typical, you know, for this topic, in terms of the mixed evidence, you know, is, you know, even if we adopt Reb Chaim's, you know, position, which I think is very compelling, according to many Makoros, including the language of Reish Lakish, you know, the idea that the Umdana is a, you know, necessary linchpin, you know, is, explains, you know, the mixed evidence. Although, and, you know, this goes back to our discussion of Rav Avigdor and the Arzorua and so on and so forth, you know, the tendency would be that, you know, you're not going to look with a microscope at necessarily at every umdana if you think that, you know, mostly, you know, this achieves the status, you know, of edus. And by the same token, you know, once it does achieve the status of edus, its ability to fend off, you know, forces that otherwise, if it was just pure chazaka, even if the chazaka is kind of a linchpin, you know, it still might be that since it's, you know, kind of a two-step process and there's a little bit of low plug in it, that we treat, you know, the defense of the shtar as an edus, you know, even when if it was a pure clash of, you know, umdana versus umdana, if you want to say it that way, or things like that, maybe we wouldn't have. You know, I'll just exemplify that with one case now because we have to stop. So just if somebody could read the Gemara, on maybe as Natan here? Or is he in there? Or was he here? I thought I saw him earlier. No? Justin. So how about you? Justin still has... Justin has informed me that he's, you know, retaining his rights. So I just wanted to warn everybody about that. I'm trying to fortify myself. I don't know what is going to happen.
Never know.
I know. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, this like, might be a way to, like, you know, win him over. Or, you know, we'll see what we can do. So the other Gemara, which is Yitzchak Samad Beis, is a fascinating, you know, little discussion. Go ahead. Just look at the Gemara again very quickly. You have this Machlokes, right, in the discussion of the Mishnah, the Reisha and the Seifa. Right, Adam Shomruk Sava Deinu Huzeh Abal. Again, you know, here there's an admission that there's no Ziyuf, but there are other Tainas, Anusim, Ktanim, Psule Eidos, right, and the Gemara is Mechalik, the Mishnah is Mechalik between Ksav Yadim Yotzim and Malka Macher and Ain't Ksav Yadim Yotzim and Malka Macher. We'll just get that on the record. And that is a kind of, you know, it seems like a kind of a, you know, Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir kind of a thing. So in the Gemara, there's a Kivin Shigit Shuvin Nechozer Magid. In fact, it's a complicated business. There's Kivin Shigit Shuvin Nechozer Magid, just based on Reish Lakish, right, as we'll read in a second. And there's also, you know, in one case, a Pesha Asar. You know, in the other case, only Kivin Shigit. Right, so it's a bit of a tricky issue, and what we're trying to figure out a little bit is, number one, the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which we'll get to in a minute, Modi Bishnar Shekosu Tzorech L'Kaimo, and whether or not we're able to pin down in any way, you know, whether this is about a clash of umdanas, or those types of factors, or whether there really is an Eidos element here, you know, that makes it more formidable. Go ahead. On Rabbi Chama. Justin?
Oh, on Rabbi Bar Chama, lo shanu elish amrim anusim hainu mach mas mama. Anusim hainu mach mas nefashos, or eil ne'amonim.
Yeah.
On Rabbi Chama.
I think we read this already, that's so we can read it quickly. Kol kemine.
Kol kemine, kemine jo yitshuv in ha'amagin. Yeah. 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 Kol kemine, kemine jo yitshuv in ha'amagin.
Self-incrimination, you know, in Jewish law is a fascinating topic. We're not going to discuss it right now, but it's a really interesting issue. A lot of implications, legally and conceptually and philosophically. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Oh, so the Mishnah is, you know, is just one daya, right? And now the Gemara introduces that actually it's a machlokas between our Meir and the Chachamim. So we really want to understand a little bit better, if we can, what this machlokas is, right? So ein nemanim leposlo divrei Rabbi Meir. Which case is that on? The Chachamim omrim nemanim. Which is the case where Ksav Yadim Yotzim B'Makom Acher or Ein Ksav Yadim Yotzim B'Makom Acher? Ein Ksav Yadim Yotzim B'Makom Acher. Right? So it's Moda Bishtar Shekosvo. That gives him a leg up. I mean, there wouldn't be Kiyum Shtaris without him, right, Justin? So he has the equivalent of Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. So basically, it's Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, right, making the claim against the authenticity or the effectiveness of the shtar. Is that right? Eitan, am I right? I check with Eitan. Right? So it's moda b'shtar shekosvo is a way of saying pesha asar pesha hitir. Correct? Pesha asar pesha hitir is a force that the halakha recognizes. Right? We're all familiar with it. Exactly how powerful it is, you know, may be part of the story here. Right, but it now is being weaponized. Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir is being weaponized against the kashrus of the shtar. Right, good. So now, what are we saying? That's a machlokas. Turns out, we thought in the Mishnah, how does it go? That would work. Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir overrides or can you know undercut, better way to say it, the kashrus of the shtar. So normally we wouldn't believe without a pashos and pashahit here, we wouldn't believe them kol kamine kim chigi chuva nechozer magin to say we're psulim or things like that. But if there's a pashos and pashahit here, somehow a that neutralizes kim chigi chuva nechozer magin. Right? B, it also, according to the Chachamim, right, it undercuts Reish Lakish, or dictates that Reish Lakish is inapplicable. Okay. And Rav Meir disagrees. He says Reish Lakish, or something like it, or put it this way, the integrity of the shtar is a fortress. Yeah? Yeah? It's something which is invulnerable even to the acknowledged, you know, force of Peshas and Peshahit. Is that because there's also a Kivin Shehigan in the mix? Right? Is that because it's so formidable because it's Eidos? Right? And for the Rabbanon, it's not Eidos? Is that the argument? Is the argument about Reish Lakish, or I'm sorry, about the Kashrus Ashtar being Eidos or not? Or is the argument about whether it's Eidos in this case when there's reason to doubt the Umdana part of it? Right? Or there's no Eidos ever, and it's just about different, you know, halachic forces of Birur clashing against each other. It's Umdana versus Umdana, or it's Umdana versus Shtar, or it's Umdana, you know, versus the umdana that is the linchpin of the shtar. Okay? Everybody with me on that? Okay. And, I mean, that's what we're looking for. Correct? Justin? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. If Justin and I can agree, then, you know, I can't imagine. Is Josh here? We're not here. Okay. So go ahead. Keep going. Bishlom al Rabbanon.
Bishlom al Rabbanon. He's on my own. Shapashi Osir. Who are Pashi?
Yeah. Meaning they're you know, that works in other areas of halacha. Why wouldn't it work here? What's so great about, you know, they're telling a story. They're explaining, you know, that they were anusim, or they were ketanim. It's not outlandish. It's not ludicrous. Like, what's the other side of it? Peshos and Peshit is a known and established and respected birur, right? Ah, Elo Rabbi Meir.
My time. Bishma
Sule
Eidos,
Mava, Gufya, Mikar, Medic, Diab, okay, so that, what do you think about that? Umdana? Again, Medic Dayak, another Medic Dayak, right? Meaning, okay, he's not gonna, you know, he has an interest in his shtar, you know, being an authentic document that will stand up in court. Isn't he going to be careful? You know, it's not like it's so hard to get kosher edim, right? So, but what is that? That's certainly only an umdana. So it's umdana against, or it's an umdana, it's an umdana that supports edus, or it's just an umdana? That's the question. The language, unlike Reish Lakish in Gittin, right, is an umdana language. Okay, but that's the question. Pure umdana? And that's, you know, then the argument? Or is it that the Chacham are saying it's Eidos? Understand? Okay, good. For Rav Meir, who says that the Pesha Asar is limited, it sounds like the umdana is enough. So, as a linchpin, or in its own right? Ketanim Nami. So here's actually Reish Lakish. This is something that we've noted, right, that Reish Lakish is the author of some of the umdanaos, you know, that protects the shtar. The question is, that separate from his, like Reish Lakish knows how to say, you know, the shtar is Eidos. Eidomatsum la'shtar nasa k'mishin ekroidus ha'bevezen. You know, so if he's saying hakol b'hekshar nasa, or what is this one? Chazaka ein eidim chos mimal shtar. Justin, go ahead. Yeah, so is that you know, he knows how to say Eidus, so here he's saying Umdana, or he's here, or he already said Eidus, so now he's explaining, you know, the Umdana, you know, that reinforces or that triggers the Eidus. This is the question. I'm saying it's important just to read the Shalka Bataria to know that it can be read in more than one way, and then we'll see, you know, a little bit what some of the Rishonim say. We're not learning Ksuvas, but, you know, we'll spend, you know, two more minutes today and some time Tuesday on some of these Gemaras. Right? Ela anusim maitaima.
Ela anusim maitaima. Amar pestach, savar meir. Eden. Shalmru lahem.
Chismu. Sheker.
Sheker al dahargu. Yahargu ba'al yahargu.
Achtim sheker. Whoa, that's pretty harsh. Right? I mean, that's a shocking Gemara. A testament to, you know, how unacceptable it is, you know, to be an eid sheker, but still very, you know, questionable, as the Gemara is going to say. Amalei Rava. If they came to ask a shayla, to get advice, right? We wouldn't tell them to give up their lives for that. Go ahead. Yeah, important topic, but not for now. Hashta. And then the continuation, which, you know, maybe we'll discuss. So, in the end of the day, has the Gemara explained anything? Or have they just reformulated Rameir's position? Oh, the answer is Rameir holds Modi Bishar Shakasu, you know, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo. Right. So could it be that what the Gemara is saying is that till now they were saying, oh, you know, there's this Umdana, there's that Umdana, but it doesn't help you for, you know, for the last one, you know, because, you know, Hari Bayavar doesn't apply here. But you should know the real issue is Modi Bishar Shakasu Tzarech L'Kaimo. Meaning, forget about the specifics of the Umdana, it's the Eidus of Ashar, it's Reish Lakish. Right? Is that what's going on? So we'll have to look at the Rishon. I'll just highlight it in one way, and then I'll take Gabe's question. And that is, let's take this teeny little tosis, which, you know, connects us a little bit to last year's Limud as well. Right? On Yud Tes, Omud Aleph, Yisrael, you have it there? We'll look at all these little tosis in very quickly on Tuesday, and the one about Basra a little bit. Chazaka, top tosis on Yud Tes and Aleph. It's going to ring a bell, or you saw it already, so it rings a bell. It rang a bell. The bell rang. What? Yeah. Chazaka ain't, when they read it, Gemara said, Chazaka ain't in Chosim al Sharlim ke Nasa Begadol. Right? Says tosis. It sounds like the machlokas in the Gemara is what's the status of amigo, but this is a terrific tosis, right? The small ones are always, you know, amazing, you know, too. So amigo b'makom chazaka, is that what it is? And where do we have that? Keep going. Tzarchiyun. What's the case? V'lo ifshita. Right? Let's say the guy, you know, he asks him, Acharzmano, he says, you know, you owe me money. And the guy says, I paid you earlier. Right? Earlier than this man. So the Chazaka ended on Pareya B'Toksmano. But he has a Migudi, Boy Amar, Parati, you know, after Zmano. So let's also believe him in his more grandiose claim, right, of Parati B'Toksmano. So the Gemara says that's a Bayad L'Ifshita. So how come here it's a Machlokas? It's a question of both sides, right? It's a question. A mayor says, you know that this Chazaka, you know, is what he called it, and the Chacham say the opposite. But no one's saying it's a Bayad L'Ifshita, right? Tosis doesn't answer the question. But of course, you know, there are several. If you look at the Rajba Latar, he has some answers, and if you look at Tosin Bav Basra and the Rishonim Bav Basra, there are different ways to go here. you could say, you know, this is a question of chazaka versus migu, you know, but there are different levels of migu, we'll talk about it, and there are different levels of chazaka. So, you know, so it is that question, but maybe our mayor thinks that, you know, one is stronger and the here, and the chachamim think the other one is strong. Again, you have to figure out the criteria, what are the differences. It's not, you know, it's usually not a quantitative, it's usually a qualitative difference. We'll talk about it briefly, right? But what else could you say, Israel? And this is just not a good example of that at all. Why? Because this isn't necessarily migu keneged chazaka. This might be migu keneged edim. Now again, the case of Bava Basra, you know, is also kind of, you know, shtar kabyani my boy a little bit, right? Or not necessarily. I mean, it depends if it's a milva alpeh or milva bishtar. But if it's a milva bishtar, so, you know, we also have to consider that case. You know, what about moda bishtar shekasu tzarech lekaimo in a shtar kabyani my boy issue? But what Tosa says here is, oh, this is migu keneged chazaka. Like, what's going on here? We have a kasha for a mayor and the rabbanon, right? Either we answer, you know, within that assumption, right? Ein kol chazakos shavos, ein kol migus shavim, right? Or we're going to say, it's migu keneged edus edam achsum al hashtar. Okay, so we'll talk about that and also the other Tosas and all of the sugyas of Basra and Birtas Hashem on Tuesday. Thank you. Ready.